Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
We're going to continue our reflection on the commandments this morning. Today we'll look at the fourth commandment, which is honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. That's Ephesians 6, verses 2 through 3. The Catechism treats on this commandment at length, actually from paragraphs 2197 to 2257. There are four aspects to this commandment. There's children's duties towards their parents, parents' duties towards their children, so it's a two-way street. There's also our duties towards authority in general, and there's the duty of civil authority to the family itself. So it's not just about how I treat my parents, although that is fundamental to the commandment. Catechism number 2197 says that this commandment introduces the subsequent commandments, so the fifth, sixth, seventh, etc., which are concerned with particular respect for life, marriage, earthly goods, and speech. It constitutes one of the foundations of the social doctrine of the church, unquote. So notice that there's how it talks about respect for authority, respect for life, respect for marriage, respect for other people's property. The opposite of respect is what? It's disrespect, right? So disrespect for the family and for authority, disrespect for life, disrespect for sexuality and marriage, disrespect for other people's belongings, disrespect in speech through lies. So the commandments are all about respecting what is right and true. You sin against the commandments, everyone gets disrespected. Other people, yourself, and God as well. The Catechism begins here by talking about the nature of the family in general and the Christian family in particular. Paragraph 2202, it says, quote, a family by nature is a man and a woman united in marriage together with their children, unquote. The fact that people in our culture, and 10 times worse, people in the church would contest that statement shows how corrupt and really brainwashed our society is today. How it really is in the hands of the prince of this world, as Jesus calls him in John 14, verse 30. Radical subjectivism and moral relativism have gone so far as even to deform that which is most obvious in life, most obvious in reality, most obvious in relationships. The redefining of marriage to include same-sex couples is itself a sin against nature, sin against reason, and a sin against the fourth commandment. It's one of the greatest examples of disrespect that our society celebrates today. Disrespect for life, for creation, and for sexuality. And the clerics who push and promote the homosexual and transgender agenda really are wolves in sheep's clothing who shepherd themselves more than Christ's flock. Their ministry is often more self-centered than God-centered. This is one of the reasons why homosexuals shouldn't be ordained, as the church has stipulated in various documents, because the worst of them will seek to legitimize deviant behavior. The irony is that they really don't care about people with same-sex attraction, because they really don't want what's best for them. They suppress the truth about the origins of that disorder, which we'll talk about in a reflection that we'll give next month, and they don't show those people how to truly find healing and find God's hope. It's very sad, very disgusting, actually. Catechism number 2205 says the Christian family is a communion of persons, a sign and image of the communion of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. In the procreation and education of children, it reflects the Father's work of creation. It is called to partake of the prayer and sacrifice of Christ. Daily prayer and the reading of the Word of God strengthen it in charity, unquote. So obeying and honoring the fourth commandment actually has a deeper meaning when you see the family as God sees it, when you see the family as created in the image of the Blessed Trinity. Just as all three persons in the Blessed Trinity honor and respect and love one another, so too all members of the family are called to honor, respect, and love one another. Why are marriage and the family sacred? We've spoken of this before. Why? Because they are a reflection of the Blessed Trinity. That's why they cannot be altered or distorted. To do so, again, is a sin against the fourth commandment. It's a sin against the holiness of the family created in the image of the Holy One. Paragraph 2214 of the Catechism says, the divine fatherhood is the source of human fatherhood. This is the foundation of the honor owed to parents, unquote. So it's no wonder, then, why moms and dads who are bad or selfish parents often do a lot of spiritual damage to their children as well. Why? Because the parents are God's first and, in some ways, most important representatives to that little one. Parents are called to mirror the divine love and goodness of God. When they don't do that, they can distort the image that children have of God. However, even when parents are sinful, we still have to respect them. We don't want their sins to turn into our sins. We have to be careful about that. Let's look at the first aspect of the fourth commandment, which we mentioned earlier, which is children's duties towards their parents, which are essentially three: respect or reverence, obedience, and love. First duty we have toward our parents is respect or reverence. We don't want to have contempt for them or say nasty things about them or behave towards them in a way that's disrespectful. So we're called to honor and respect those who gave us life. That includes also expressing gratitude towards our elders and even those who raised us. Filial respect, says the Catechism, number 2216, is shown by true docility and obedience. So tied to respect is the second duty we owe to our parents, which is obedience. As long as a child lives at home with his parents, says paragraph 2217, the child should obey his parents in all that they ask of him when it is for his good or that of the family. But if the child is convinced in conscience that it would be morally wrong to obey a particular order, he must not do so, says the Catechism. As a rule, I think that's pretty easy to understand, right? The parent asks the child to do something that's sinful, the child shouldn't do it. Why? Because that's an abuse of the parent's authority. Certainly not easy to live that, especially for young children who are in those situations, but the principle is obvious and clear. As far as guilt, the far greater guilt lies with the parent or adult who causes the child to sin rather than with the child himself, right? Jesus talks about the guilt in terms of millstones. When you read the New Testament, he gives it the millstone award, parents who are scandalizing their children. So the Catechism says, obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of the children, not so respect, which is always owed to them. So as long as you're dependent on your parents for money and food and clothing and shelter, you are a dependent. So your parents do have rights over you. It's disrespectful and immature to try to live and act as an independent. Live and act independently of your parents, to live without their rules as long as they're supporting you, right? That should be common sense. But with all the dysfunction that there is in families nowadays, thanks to the sexual revolution and the jettisoning of morals and rules and authorities, we know common sense, it's not too common nowadays, right? As a side note, respect and maturity do go together. They do walk in harmony with each other, just like disrespect and immaturity unfortunately go together as well. Remember when Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? We quote that verse a lot, Matthew 5:48. The Greek word that's used there for perfect is teleos. Teleos means mature. So the more mature you are, the more you will respect God and others, including your parents. And therefore, the more you will grow in holiness. The Catechism at paragraph 2218 says, quote, "The fourth commandment reminds grown children of their responsibilities towards their parents. As much as they can, they must give them material and moral support in old age and in times of illness, loneliness, or distress," unquote. So that principle, too, pretty obvious, right? Since our parents and our relatives supported and raised us, then we should support and assist them in their need as well. To abandon a parent in their need for selfish or unjust reasons is disrespectful, and it is sinful. Now, there may be the case that we have to have boundaries with parents who are unhealthy or dysfunctional, but that's not being disrespectful, actually. Good boundaries are actually honoring of the parent who acts in a dishonorable way, like through manipulation or deceit or abuse or codependent behavior, but that's really essentially a topic for another discussion. Boundaries, healthy boundaries, are not disrespectful. Lastly, thirdly, we owe our parents love. Love in thought, word, and deed. So things like hatred, cursing, contempt for them, causing them anxiety, failing to pray for them or reasonably support them would all be sins against the fourth commandment. And remember, love is desiring and willing the best for someone else. It also means learning to extend mercy towards our parents in their defects and their failings. Mercy and forgiveness are key in our relations with others. And they're commanded by God as well. God expects us to be merciful and forgiving, just as He is with us, essentially. "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful," Jesus says in Luke 6:36. So in our next reflection, we'll talk about another aspect of this commandment, which is parents' duties towards their children. For now, we'll just mention that the best way to honor your father and mother is essentially to live in a way that brings honor to them and to their name, to live as God calls us to live. Parents may not always live up to God's best for them, but God will give us the strength to overcome that if we learn to lean on Him and if we learn to take to heart how He tells us to live, how He asks us to live, essentially how He commands us to live. So let's ask Our Lady then for the grace to embrace and respect God's commandments with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.